Japan Makes Me Scared, a podcast to the chilling realm of Japanese horror stories. My name is Junpei, and I will invite you to the mysterious world of Kaiden, exploring spine-tingling experiences that have haunted Japan. こんばんは、皆さん。Welcome back to another episode of Japan Makes Me Scared. I'm Junpei, your host, and I'm going to share various horror, scary stories of Kaiden in this podcast. Question of the day. Do you have your grandparents living in the city, or are they in a rather rural area? I currently live in a city called Yokohama, which is about 20 minutes from Tokyo by train.I have lived here since my grandparents' generation, so you could say that I was a pure city boy. Talking about my childhood, I was jealous of some of my friends who had grandparents in the countryside. That is because during the summer or winter holidays, they would go to see their grandparents in the countryside, and when school started again, they would tell me many fascinating stories about their experience there. To me,We only knew city life. Those stories were like exciting encounters with an unknown. Some of you had been listening to my podcast probably noticed that, but many Japanese kaiden stories are exactly the kind of stories that I have just told you about. You know, some students visit their grandparents in the countryside during summer holidays and experience some spooky stuff there. I personally like this kind of story a lot,And I just realized that it's maybe because, you know, I feel a sense of nostalgia, which reminds me of the feelings of encounter with the unknown from my childhood. Today's story, the Japanese urban legend, that is also one of the I went to my grandparents' house in the countryside, those kind of stories, along with great fear, hopefully. All right.Let's move on to the storytelling part. Episode 13, Kune Kune. The original story was posted on the Japanese message board website, 2chan, around 2003.The story follows a young boy who went to his grandparents' house and experienced a weird encounter there. From here, I will describe I as this young boy for convenience. This happened when I was a small kid and went back to my grandparents' house in Akita. When I arrived at my grandparents' house,which I only visited once a year during Obon time, around mid-August, I immediately went outside to play with my brother in great excitement. Unlike in the city, the air is definitely better. I ran around the rice fields with my brother, enjoying the fresh breeze. The wind stopped just as the sun was rising, and it was almost midday. Then,warm sticky wind started to blow. I thought to myself, why is there such a warm wind blowing when it's already hot? The earlier freshness was gone, and I started feeling uncomfortable. I was going to talk to my brother about this, but I noticed he was looking in a different direction. In that direction, there seemed to be a scarecrow.What's wrong with that scarecrow? I asked my brother. No, it's further back than that. Then he looked more and more intently. I was curious too, and look longingly across the rice field. From a distance, it looked like a white object about the size of a person, wiggling and twisting. What is it? There were only rice fields around it, not people nearby. I felt strange for a moment, but I just said to my brother, "Hey, it must be a new kind of scarecrow. I'm sure. They've never been moving scarecrows before, but somebody got this idea, and maybe the wind is making it move." My brother looked convinced by my theory, but his expression disappeared in an instant. The wind suddenly stopped. However, the white object was still moving and wiggling. My brother said, "Hey, it's still moving. What is that thing?" Perhaps because he was curious, he returned home and came back again with binoculars. My brother seemed somewhat excited and said, "I'll have a look first. You just wait a bit." Then he looked through the binoculars. Suddenly, my brother's face changed. He turned blue, broke out in a cold sweat, and finally dropped the binoculars he was holding. I was afraid of his transformation, but I asked him, "What was it?" He replied slowly, "Better if you don't know." It was already not my brother's voice. My brother then walked back to the house in a heap. I immediately picked up the binoculars and tried to look at the white object too. But because of what had just happened, I didn't have the courage to do so. From a distance, it was just a white object wiggling. It was a bit weird, but it didn't cause any further feelings of fear. I finally came to the point. Okay, I've seen for myself what has given my brother that biggest fright. I took the binoculars and tried to look through them. That's when my grandpa came running towards me, looking very panicked. Before I could ask, he said, "Don't look at that white object. Did you see it? Did you see it with those binoculars?" I replied, "No, not yet," feeling a little nervous. My grandpa said, "Oh, thank God." Then, looking relieved, he collapsed in tears on the spot. Right after, I was sent back to my grandpa's house. When I returned, everyone was crying. I first thought, was it about me? But no, because when I looked closer, I saw that only my brother was laughing like crazy, wiggling and twisting insanely, like that white object. I felt more horror at the sight of my brother than at the white object. My grandma said, "It'll be easier for him to stay here. If he's back in town, in the eyes of the public, it won't last more than a few days there. It's best to leave him in the house here, and after a few years, release him into the rice fields." When I heard those words, I just cried out loudly. The brother I once knew was no longer there. Even if I would see him again next year in my grandparents' house, he wouldn't be in the same condition. Why did this happen? We used to play together just a few days ago. Why? On the day I was returned to my home in town, I got into the car and left my grandparents' house. Grandpa and Grandma were waving at me, and my brother seemed to wave at me as well for a moment. As I moved away, I looked through my binoculars to see the expression on my brother's face, and sure enough, he was crying. He was smiling at the same time, but it was the first and last sad smile he had ever shown me. When I turned the corner soon after, I couldn't see him anymore. But I kept looking through the binoculars with tears streaming down my face. Someday, things will be back to normal. With that hope, I just kept looking through the binoculars, and I thought nostalgically remembering how my brother used to be. It was then I saw something up close that I knew I shouldn't have seen. That was the original story posted on 2chan. After this story became well known, some other sightings of what appears to be Kune Kune have been posted on the internet. I will pick up two more stories. Those are kind of short stories, so let me quickly share them here. First one is from a boy who was in around 4th grade at the time, attending a summer camp for swimming lessons near the sea. Unfortunately, a typhoon was approaching on the last day of the camp, so the attendees had to stay in the room. While looking at the window at the raging sea, he could see a mysterious white object moving. What is it? It looked like a person, but he wasn't sure if he was a man or woman. The thing was completely white all over, and moved his hands at high speed above his head in a scooping motion. At a moment, Kei-chan, who was looking out the window with him, released a strange voice. Pee! The teacher took Kei-chan to the hospital, but she never returned. This boy was nearsighted and did not wear glasses when looking at that white thing. But Kei-chan had such a good eye that when they explored the forest together, she was fast to spot insects that seemed to mimic trees. So she probably saw it crystal clear. Another story is from a boy. He was in high school at the time. One day, that boy and his friend were playing at his house. While they were talking nonsense, his mother came back with the front door open and desperately pleaded with them like, "Please, please do not go to the rice fields now." When they asked why, she claimed that she saw a wiggling black object there. But the clue was looking for something fun, so they decided to go to the rice field anyway. When they reached there, they saw a black object wiggling its arms and legs. When they're looking at this, they felt kind of like a great fear coming from the bottom of their heart, and tears well up in their eyes. Their knees trembled, and they ran home crying. Oshimai. Thank you very much for listening to the story. Today, I've shared 3 stories of Kune Kune, and I'll be happy if you like them all. I've got a lot of mysteries here, so let's have deep dives to some of them. First of all, let's think about the effect that Kunikuni has on the witnesses. According to the stories, those who witnessed Kunikuni seem to be mental afterwards. But if you're just watching it from a distance, or you're nearsighted and forget your glasses, you'll be fine. So you can probably be saved when you don't see it clearly or don't understand what it is. That could be the borderline. The next question is, where does Kunikuni inhabit? From the first and third stories, Kunikuni is usually in the rice fields. But like in the second story, it was spotted near the sea as well. So the rice fields and sea in Japan are the top spots where you need to be careful not to see Kunikuni. Also, when it comes to the color of Kunikuni, it is most likely to be white as paper or fabric. However, like the third story, Kunikuni can sometimes appear as a black object as well. You know, usually I'm happy to find a Pokemon of a different color, but the possibility of a different colored Kunikuni is just terrifying, right? And the last question is, what could be the origin of Kunikuni? Around the internet, some people have actually pointed out the resemblance between Kunikuni and some yokai, such as Itamomen. Yokai is kind of a term to refer to Japanese Asian monsters, and it's been quite common in Japan that many spooky events associated with yokai. Itamomen is a white floating fabric type of yokai, so this could be a strong theory. Others say it could be the doppelganger phenomenon. You know, it's about seeing another self. In fact, when you usually see a doppelganger, another self, you're most likely to be dead afterwards. So you can see a similarity with the Kunikuni stories as well here. Or if you think about the origin by the Kunikuni story itself, Kunikuni can be those who witnessed Kunikuni in the past. You remember in the first story, after the brother became insane, his family said, after a few years, it's best to release him into the rice field. The intention of this statement was not made clear in the story, but it may imply that the Kunikuni witness would be returned to the rice field after a certain period of time, and that he or she would later become new Kunikuni. Whoa, there's so many questions and theories coming into my head. You also have some of your thoughts on their stories as well. I've got a Discord channel where anybody can join and share thoughts and theories. Of course, I'll be there as well. I'm gonna leave the link in the description, so please join and enjoy the interaction if you would. This podcast, Japan Makes Me Scared, is available on almost all popular podcast platforms like Spotify, Apple, YouTube, or Amazon Music. Also, if you push the follow button on the app of your choice, first of all, for me, it'll be a huge support and motivation. And for you, do not miss notification for future episodes. So please consider following my podcast as well. Alright, we're getting close to the end, so let me say one thing. Arigatou gozaimasu, again, for listening to my podcast, Japan Makes Me Scared, and sayonara for more cheer and thrills next time. Bye!